Good evening, everybody. This is Congressman Bob Filner. I'm Congressman for the 51st District in California, which includes Southern San Diego County, cities of National City and Chula Vista, part of the city of San Diego, and all of Imperial County out further east. It's good to be able to talk to you, to let you know about what's going on in Washington and be able to answer your questions. If at any time you want to come in and tell us you have a question, just press *3 on your telephone, *3, and you'll be able to get online to ask a question or comment on anything I've said. The news today is full of stuff on the meeting with President Obama, with both Republican and Democratic Congress people and senators, to try to see if there was some common ground to which we can, in fact, make improvements in our health care and health insurance system. I think you know it's broken. Many people cannot even get insurance, whether it's because the insurance companies prevent you because of so-called pre-existing condition, or the cost of the premiums are so high. They may cut you off if you have too many expenses or too many claims, and they just cut you right off. In addition, you know, when you change jobs or may get laid off, it's hard to keep that insurance, and we got to change that. In addition, prescription drug costs are too high, and we can go on and on. So reform is needed. And I watched part of that discussion today with President Obama and senators and congressmen, and it just seemed to me that there was this fundamental gap between the president and the Democratic Party, which say that health care ought to be a right for all Americans. That is, everybody should be able to buy affordable, high-quality health care insurance. And if people can't afford it or the insurance companies won't give it, then there has to be some regulation on that to make sure that that occurs. The Republicans just will not accept that as a right of all Americans. So I think what's going to happen in the next few weeks is that there's going to be, in the Senate, an up or down vote on health care reform where a majority, that is 51 votes in a 100-vote Senate, will be the requirement. It seems anything else, let's say the 60 votes we've been hearing about, is just anti-democratic with a small d. That is, an up or down vote should be decided by a majority. And I think that will happen in the Senate, and then we'll see whether we have health care reform or not. And, of course, if it passes or doesn't pass, the votes will be, I think, an important part of the election that's coming up in November. People can make their decision about their representatives and senators about how they voted on this. So we will have a true up or down vote in the House and the Senate, and then we'll have an election. So that's what majority rule says, and I'm looking forward to that. Again, if you have a question, please press *3 on your telephone, and you'll be able to get through to us. And I have an assistant named Tony who's going to pass on the calls to me. Tony, we're ready for the first call. Now, Tony tells me we don't have anybody who signed up. Press *3 on your telephone keypad, and you'll be able to ask me any question you want or comment on what I said about health care reform. As you know, we work on a whole variety of things here in Washington. I've been honored for the last 3 years to be chairman of the Veterans Committee in the House of Representatives. That committee, or my committee, is responsible for the 25 million American veterans who have served our nation, going back to World War II. Actually, there's one veteran alive from World War I still, but World War II and, of course, Vietnam, Korea, First Gulf War, and the current conflicts in Iraq and Afghanistan. And we have a tremendous obligation to these young men and women who are serving our nation. I was proud to have been one of the authors of a new GI Bill for the 21st century, a GI Bill that would mirror the law that was passed in 1944 to help our veterans who were returning from World War II to reintegrate into civilian society. It provided college tuition for anybody who wanted to go to college, and the ability to buy a house with very little down payment. I think I'm in Congress because of that GI Bill. My dad came back from World War II. He was able to get some education, but for the first time, we were able to buy a house. In my family's history, we had been living in apartments with extended family for most of our lives. All of a sudden, we, like 8 million other families in America, became part of the middle class. And we wanted to duplicate that for the heroes of Iraq and Afghanistan. And so we have provided a bill with a program which pays for the full cost of college, allows extra stipend for books and transportation and childcare expenses. And in addition, in addition, it for the first time, it is available to those veterans who served in the National Guard or reserve units, who have done half of the fighting in Iraq and Afghanistan, but were never able to really tap into the benefits of earlier GI Bills. So we make that available to them. And in addition, we if somebody doesn't want or has already had an education, they can actually pass on those benefits to their spouse or their children. So we think it was a great GI Bill, and it's one of the proudest things I have been able to do as chairman of the Veterans Affairs Committee. Again, this is Bob Filner, Congressman of the 51st District with a telephone town hall. If you want to reach me, please press star 3 on your dial. And we do have some questions. Tony, who's up first?
Sir Romero, I'm from Imperial. I would like to talk to you about what's being done on the California economy.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine, sir. Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, I was inquiring because I'm a state employee and I'm being hurt by the furloughs and all those cuts on my salary. And this year is not looking better than last year. We've already been threatened with cuts in our pay, direct cuts. And is there anything being done to help us?
Yeah, what department do you work for, by the way?
Corrections. I'm a parole agent.
Okay. Because there was a ruling by a court today that said those state employees who actually are funded from non-state funds, like Social Security Administration, would in fact they ordered their furlough pay to be reinstated. Look, this is a terrible situation that California has got itself into. You need in the legislature, two-thirds of the legislature to vote on anything that will require change in either taxes or any budgetary changes. It's very difficult to solve problems when you have a two-thirds vote requirement. I mean, we live in a country where there should be a majority vote, as I've talked about in the Senate of the United States, and that should apply to California. We in the federal government understand that this national recession and what happened on Wall Street is affecting states and cities. When we passed a jobs bill earlier this year, a lot of that money went to school districts and went to states so they wouldn't have to lay off and wouldn't have to furlough workers. We are about to pass an additional jobs bill or bills that will hopefully help the states in these bad times. We got to get the economy going again. We got to start jobs. For me, the big issue is to get these big banks who we bailed out, which I did not vote for, but which you bailed out with hundreds of billions of dollars, and yet aren't loaning money for homes or for small businesses, which create our jobs. So we got a big job ahead of us still to turn this economy around. I'm hopeful that the bills that we're going to pass that will help create and restore jobs, much of that money will go to the states and to the cities and school districts so they can prevent these layoffs and furloughs. Again, if you want to talk to Congressman Bob Filner, that's me. Press star 3 on your keypad, and I'll be happy to take the next call.
Okay, Bob, we have Frank on the line from Eastlake.
Hey, Frank, how are
Hello.
You?
You're honorable. Thank you so much for facilitating this. And I'm going to embarrass you.
Uh-oh.
But then not, maybe not. A while ago, my family and I had an opportunity to go to the Washington D.C. and I contacted your office and to see if you could assist us with getting access to the White House. And very much to my amazement and surprise, you were very gracious and took time from your very valuable schedule to greet us at the White House, my wife and my three boys. And you explained of the inner workings of the government, and it was a day that we've never forgotten. And every time we see the news, the White House in the background, we think of that day.
And remind me how old the kids were then?
It was like maybe two or three years ago, something like that.
Okay. But the kids still remember it, huh?
Oh yeah, they do.
Oh, that's great.
I mean,
everybody
sees the White House, and we just remember that day that our very own yours truly was there and greeted us. And
well, thank you.
This meant so much to me. And yeah. My oldest son is going to San Diego State, following in your footsteps. And my middle son, he's a senior in high school, and he's trying so hard to get into San Diego State. And he's almost there, so we're waiting for the results of the test. And again, just wanted to let everyone know that as busy and as many things that you're multitasking, a lot of things on your plate, that you do remember your constituents in town and that you do make the time for them.
Well, and Frank, thanks so much. I'm sorry, did I interrupt you? This is one of the things that, you know, make this job so so gratifying, that I'm able to do things like help get people in the White House for tours, and you just call our office, and if you're in Washington, we'll try to get you on it into the White House. You have to be about 8 o'clock in the morning, and I get you in there, and it's an hour tour, which is wonderful. We can help also on tours of our Congress, the Capitol, FBI, Air and Space Museum, all kinds of things that are in this wonderful city of Washington. But it also reminds me, and I appreciate what Frank said, that I try to give especially our young people experiences that they might never have in their lives. For example, being able to attend one of the military academies. It's a high-class education for 4 years at no cost, and I get to nominate our young people to go there. We have an art contest every year that we're able to bring the winner of that contest to Washington and enjoy a reception here and all kinds of honors for having won the contest. That we have, there's contests in every congressional district. In addition, every couple of years I get to appoint what's called a page. We take juniors in high school, and they can spend 3 months here in the Capitol. In the morning they go to school, in the afternoon they are on the floor of the House of Representatives delivering messages and phone calls, and they're right there at the front lines of history. And I've been able to bring some of our kids on that program, and it just changes their lives. So it's one of the most gratifying things I get to do as a congressman. Again, this is Bob Filner, congressman for 51st District. If you want to talk to me, just press *3 on your telephone. Tony, we got another one. Call.
Bob, we have Carlos on the line from Chula Vista, wants to talk about veterans' issues.
Hi, Carlos. Carlos, are you there? Hi.
Oh, yes, I'm here. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I just want to say that I really support all you have been doing, Bob. You have been nothing but wonderful. You are right on. You help us with the power plant, gave us help those children that were in danger, and you basically help us turn around this whole thing. The only thing that I'm concerned is the lack of activism from the left center. They allowing the right, those nutty people over there, basically to take a very good opportunity, you know, and I don't know what I can do as a citizen, you know.
I'm sorry, on which issue is that?
I'd like to be able to do something, you know, to be able to help our president and our members, you know, to bring health care for every American in the United States.
Well, that's my aim too, and you know, you can play a role, Carlos. In fact, everybody can. Much of what Congress does is directly related to public opinion. Congress people know exactly pretty much what people are thinking because we're always in touch with our constituents. So if you write, for example, a letter to the editor in our daily paper or their weekly papers, their community papers, it gives people a sense of how you're thinking and gives them courage to say it. There are talk shows all day long in San Diego. You can call them and get your opinions. There are ways to be on television. If you belong to a service club like the Lions or the Rotary Clubs, you can talk to them. PTA meetings, wherever people get together, church groups. If you voice your opinion, other people then can join in and get courage from what you said, and the public opinion changes in that way. We still, even though there's a lot of special interests at work in this country, we have the greatest democracy in the world if people want to use it. And there's tremendous power just by speaking up and talking to the people that you know at work and at your church and your in your neighborhood. So just speak up your mind, and you will be heard. I thank you, Carlos. Just press *3 on your dial, and you can get to talk to your congressman, Tony.
Bob, we have Samuel on the line from National City. He wants to talk to you about education and funding for schools.
Hi, Samuel.
Hello. I was wondering, what are you guys doing with all the education in school and the budget and the teachers and librarians?
That's a good question, Samuel. How old are you?
11.
And you're what, in about the fifth grade?
Yes.
Okay, well, I'm glad you're so concerned about your the school that you're in, because you were expressing concern as a fifth grader, but all of the parents, the grandparents, are concerned about your education too. And should be the first priority of every person in public office, whether they're on the school board or the state legislature or me in Congress. We are, I think, making cuts there that we're going to really regret. Education is our future. And at the federal level, where I am, that is in Washington, we're trying to make sure that the school districts get some extra money so they don't have to fire teachers or stop classes that you like or stop some of the activities that you do. So President Obama and the Congress are trying to get more money into education, help the local school districts and the state fund this. But it's a tough time, and until we turn this economy around, so everybody is working, and the tax collections bring in that money, we're going to have some tough times. So we're going to spend money to try to create jobs and hopefully then get the money into the educational system. Samuel, thanks so much for calling. I'm glad an 11-year-old was able to get in to talk to me. Press *3 and you'll get in to talk to me.
Fernando from Chula Vista is on the line, wants to talk about your views on the jobs bill.
Hey, Fernando.
Hi, Congressman. My question is basically, you were talking about the jobs bill that was just approved by Congress. And my wife works in a national school district as a counselor. And there's always talks about, you know, budgets being cut, and there's always uncertainty as to whether, you know, they're going to be able to keep their jobs. So can you help us understand how that jobs bill is going to trickle down to school districts in order to for teachers, counselors, and people, you know,
right,
school employees to keep their jobs?
The particular jobs bill that we are talking about this week is a $15 billion effort to create jobs, mainly by helping transportation systems. But we have passed bills earlier in the year which gave money directly to school districts to say, you know, you have deficits. This is to make it up. Keep your teachers, keep your counselors, you know, keep your librarians, rather than lay them off. And so I think we saved a tremendous number of jobs. I think we're going to have to do that again because of, you know, what you just said about your wife and, you know, millions of other teachers and counselors and school workers. We cannot allow our school systems to get to lose as much money as that is, or to get into a deficit situation as much as they are. It's too harmful to our kids, our future. So I hope later this year that we will be able to get some legislation that actually goes again directly to the states and the school districts to make sure that teachers and all these other personnel remain for our children's education. Press star 3 on your radio, on your telephone, if you would like to talk to me. This is Bob Filner, Congressman for the 51st Congressional District.
Bob, we have Mark on the line from San Diego, has some questions about Democrats and their position in opposition to health care.
Hi, Mark, how are you?
Hi. I've been a loyal supporter, and I'm really proud of that summit today, President Obama's and our Democratic members in Congress. But the news people are saying that if it goes to reconciliation, the problem might be in the House Democrats not supporting the Senate bill. Is that true, or can you give me any insight on that?
Yeah. Thanks, Mark. I don't want to get too technical, but you know, as you know, the Democrats have almost a 60% majority in both the House and the Senate. So, in the election that President Obama and the rest of us who were there won, was around health care to a large degree. That is, we promised health care reform. And as a party, we should be able to deliver this. There are some in the Democratic Party who, I'll say more timid than others, or less willing to accept the moral imperative that we have health care for all, and they have not supported the party's efforts. I think, though, that if you need that, when we go to an up or down vote in both the Senate and the House, an up or down vote meaning whoever gets 50% plus one wins the vote, I think at the end of the day, which will be about in 3 or 4 weeks, I think, there will be a health care bill passed by this Congress, but in both the Senate and the House, and sent to the President. So I feel pretty confident after watching today's session with the President and the other members of Congress that we will indeed get health care reform. We will indeed stop insurance companies from preventing people with pre-existing conditions from getting insurance, from health, from companies cutting people off, and provide 30 million people with insurance that they don't have now, and bring down the cost of insurance for the rest of us. I feel pretty confident that we're going to be able to do that in the next 3 or 4 weeks. This is Bob Filner, Congressman for the 51st District. Press star 3, and you can get in on the conversation.
Bob, we have Rod on the line from Chula Vista. Has a question about homelessness.
Hi, Rod. How are you?
I'm just fine. Thank you very much for allowing me to express my concerns.
Sure.
And I do have a real serious concern about the great numbers of homeless people in our city and in our country. And I think it's really a disgrace that for a country as affluent and as civilized as ours to have so many people living in the streets. You might recall that after the beginning of World War II, our country was able to build shelters for over 100,000 Japanese Americans. And I can't see why something like that couldn't be done for our homeless people so that they would have a place to live, a safe place to live, with adequate food and shelter and medical care. And I think if this kind of thing could be set up, there could be vocational training for these people so that they might be able to find work and then not become homeless. I would think that this would be a very feasible thing. To me, it's just a disgrace to see people that are homeless like this.
Right. Well, Ron, I thank you for your humanitarian outlook here. I think everything you said I share completely. Breaks your heart to know that in this country of so much wealth that people have trouble getting a job and surviving, and it's a very vicious kind of life to live out on the streets. And if you didn't have mental health issues before, you will have after spending a few weeks on the street. Let me divide that issue, if I may, Rod, into two. One, because half of the homeless on the street tonight are veterans of the United States Armed Forces. That's a double disgrace that anybody's homeless, but especially homeless veterans. Our new Secretary of Veterans Affairs, General Eric Shinseki, former Chief of Staff of the United States Army, has pledged in a program to eliminate homelessness amongst veterans in 5 years. It's a joint effort that we announced in Washington. That's going to require not only outreach on the street, but building facilities even more than the tents that you suggested. For example, there's veterans' hospitals that have been closed because of changes of population. Why not use those buildings for our homeless veterans? So let's move the facilities that we do have into caring for those who have risked their lives for and put their lives on the line for our nation. If we could do that in the Veterans Administration, and that is clear up or deal with about half of the 400,000 people on the street tonight, it'll make it easier for cities and counties and states to try to deal with the issue that they have. And I agree with you that there has to be a way to not only get shelter, and it could be, you know, as you describe, but there's lots of buildings around. There's lots of ways to do this if there's a will to do it. And to get people back into a productive lifestyle would be a great help to our nation in so many ways. So we are working on it here. It seems, you know, it's always easy to not to look at the homeless either personally or politically. But I know in my committee, the Veterans Committee on the House is going to try to implement this program to eliminate veterans' homelessness in 5 years. Press star 3 on your telephone, be able to talk to Congressman Bob Filner. I'm happy to talk to you about any issue tonight.
Bob, we have Joe on the line from San Diego with a question on mortgages.
Hey, Joe, how are you?
Hey, Congressman. Good. I had a chance to meet you once at one of our local cardiologists' Christmas, Dr. Jerome Robinson.
Okay.
You were there. Had a chance to speak to you.
That was at Paradise Valley, huh?
It sure was. Sure was.
Okay.
Congressman, I know that Congress has, or the federal government has allocated funds to assist people who are either in trouble, headed for foreclosure, or kind of upside down on their mortgages. Why does it take the banks and the financial institutions so long to actually, you know, come around? It's almost like you have to really be in trouble or really be, you know, under the nail before they'll actually help you or consider help you.
You know, Joe, when I voted for these programs, I thought exactly as you thought, that, hey, we put in to these banks, you know, literally hundreds of billions of dollars. And that was to save people's homes, their lives, their livelihoods, the community. I mean, when somebody's foreclosed on, it's not only an incredible blow to the family, but to the whole neighborhood and to, frankly, our whole nation. And we thought when we were voting for these things that these banks would realize their obligation. Unfortunately, apparently, we didn't put enough safeguards in there, and they spent the money buying other banks and just building up their bottom line a little bit. And some have paid back those loans without ever, you know, helping people with their mortgages or small businesses with loans. I think we have to crack down on these guys. I mean, I have been on the phone, Joe, with dozens of constituents to help them make calls to Bank of America or Wells Fargo or whatever. And when I'm on the phone and hear them getting the runaround and drop calls and excuses, but never really helping people, it gets me so angry. And we're going to have to make sure that these big banks, if they're too big to fail, by the way, in my opinion, they're too big to exist. We should not allow them to be able to bring down the economy. And we should be putting that money into local banks and credit unions that understand the community and will actually help people. So we're going to try to change the thrust of these programs to emphasize community banks, local banks, neighborhood banks that will actually help people. If you do have a problem, by the way, with your bank now, get in touch with my office. I'll give you the number in a minute. And Maybe we can help you through that bureaucracy. They make it as hard as they can. They don't want to really help you. But if I'm on the line, it sometimes makes it harder for them to reject you. So give me a call at tomorrow at 619-422-5963. That's 619-422-5963. And we'll try to help you through that bureaucracy to help you save your home. Again, press star 3 on your telephone, and you can get to talk to me, Congressman Bob Filner.
Bob, if Kirsten from Chula Vista would like to talk to you about your position on a patient's Bill of Rights option in health care.
Is this Kristen or Kirsten?
It's Kirsten.
Kirsten, okay. Hi.
Hi.
Go ahead.
My question is, I've been watching the healthcare debates and so forth, and the thing that worries me about this is that it's so big, and it's only a matter of time before somebody comes up with a means of abusing it or using it in a way that you never intend. Yes, the idea right now is to get healthcare for people who don't have it, but what happens when someone tries to take this entity and use it for something that it was not intended to? And I would feel a lot better about it if a lot of different private insurance companies have health patients' barrels of rights that limit what they're capable of doing. It seems only fair that the government should have something similar, something that would say that a DNA sample that was taken for testing results can't be turned around and used in a way that the person never gave consent for, or that a person has the right to refuse a medical treatment on deeply held religious grounds. What would you say to that, and would you be in favor of something like that?
Oh, yes, I would. And by the way, we have passed a genetic bill of rights, as it were, that no DNA sample can be used in the ways that you describe. But yes, we need that for both private and public. I just want to clarify one thing, Kirsten, that the plan that the President Obama is backing and I hope we pass does not set up any sort of public health system. It makes use of the private insurance companies, the private doctors, and private hospitals. There is no public plan. Actually, the Veterans Administration, if you're a veteran that's going to a hospital, that's really a public plan. Medicare, which is funded by both the premiums of people who have worked all their lives and processed through the government, is a government paid plan, but it still uses the private medical system. And anything that we're doing in these bills utilizes only the private system. Again, it's private insurance companies, private doctors, private hospitals, private clinics. The choice is completely up to people, and there will be subsidies for those who can't afford it, but they will get their choice. There's no public system. There's no public plan. I favored one, by the way, but that's not going to be the one that passes. So, yes, we do need a Bill of Rights, but it's going to be right now. It's the ethics of the these insurance companies and how they're going to respond. But we need a much more direct patient protections, and we will do that, I think, as we move along with expansions of health care reform. Again, this is Bob Filner, Congressman for the 51st District. Please press star 3 on your telephone, and you'll be able to talk to me.
Okay, Bob, we have Linda on the line, wants to talk to you about possible use of recovery funds for job training.
Hi, Linda.
Hi. Frank, how do I speak?
Hi there. Hi, Bob. It's Linda.
Hi, Linda.
How are you doing?
Okay. It's late here in Washington, so...
Yeah. I wanted to talk about the ARRA monies, the recovery monies.
Yeah.
That are, you know, being put out in the communities. And a lot of it's going towards green kinds of technologies.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine, but the jobs aren't there. You know, we could train.
Right.
But we don't see for example, the solar installations, people can't afford to do that with their homes. They're barely keeping their homes. What kinds of things do you think that we could do for using
right.
that ARRA money in a, I think, in a more expeditious or more, I don't know, kind of more effective manner?
Right. I'm going to have to take a look at the exact wording. But first of all, you're absolutely a big chunk of the $800 billion recovery package was put for stimulation of alternative energy jobs and businesses. And training, as far as I think. I'll look that up, Linda. But I think training is part of the program. All these are competitive grants, by the way. Businesses, colleges that are doing training, for example, I think are eligible. So I think, but I will check it for you, and if you can call my office later in the week, we'll give you an exact answer, that training programs are eligible for this this money. This money, by the way, has just been started to go out. There's several hundred billion for solar, geothermal, wind projects and jobs and companies to help them start up, to help them develop, and to help the training. So this is a particular advantage to Southern California. In my district in San Diego or Imperial County, I think we're going to become the alternative energy capital of the United States. And again, we have to go after these grants. They're competitive. And if people want to talk to me about either the job part of it or the business part of it, give me a call at my office in San Diego, 619-422-5963, and we'll help you through that grant process. This is Bob Filner. Give me a call by pressing *3.
Bob, we have Patricia on the line from Calexico, also wanting to talk about health care and the expenses associated with it.
Hi, Patricia.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I've been waiting.
Sure.
You know, this afternoon I was over in the doctor's office, and I was listening to the president, and I was wondering, you know, if I could ever have a chance to say, to give my opinion. And so when this happened, I thought, wow, you know, God delivers. So anyway, I just want to, I guess, to keep in mind my situation. And I'm sure there are people that are in worse case scenario and some that are in better. But for my point of view, I'm unemployed since June. I've had cancer twice. I've been paying my insurance. I pay COBRA with a subsidy. That's $158. Come April, I'm going to pay $450. Half my unemployment is going to go to that. I lost my apartment. I'm living at home with my mom. Thank God I don't have any young children that I need to take care of. And I still have one to three surgeries that I need to take care of come June, because when June comes, I don't know whether I'm going to have an insurance or not. So it's very important for me that these pre-existing conditions, you know, are taken into consideration, because, you know, either way, whether I find a new job or anything, I won't find myself without any coverage at one point if I'm not able to pay for my
right.
insurance. Now, with the, like you said, I heard you say something about that it's a decision that the insurance companies also need to make, right?
Well, I said they're making them now, and the new legislation will stop them from refusing to on the basis of pre-existing condition.
Right. You said something earlier about interest groups, and I think the insurances, you know, are interest groups and
right.
pharmaceuticals and things like that, where, you know, just the little people here, you know, like in my situation, find how are we going to take care of
exactly.
business as usual? You know, how are we going to be able to do this when we have these huge companies that are interest and that have money to go in there into Congress or the Senate or whatever, you know, to support the politicians or running for office, and they end up, you end up representing those companies, not us. And so, you know, these companies, insurance companies, to me, you know, I wasn't born in the United States, but they're what if. like, for example, car insurance. You pay in case something happens. And then if you go for 10 years without having an accident, here you've paid how much money? The insurance company has made a lot of money, and how much money have you made? Nothing. Only on a what if. In healthcare, you know, if you have 10 employees and let's say 5 of your employees, you know, are well and they hardly ever use their insurance, do the companies that pay for the insurance, do they get anything back? Nothing. The insurance companies
right. Keep
the money.
I mean, you're absolutely right, and I mean, I appreciate your being so eloquent and sharing that with
you. I can go on and on, but
right. It's
ridiculous that they are allowed to make this a lot of money out of the needs, or whether they insure people, you know, they just insure them whether they use the insurance or not, and yet we don't get any money back. None of it.
Right. Well, again, let me thank you for sharing, and I know you, it's a tough situation. You have a positive attitude there. The plan that we hope to pass in the next few weeks deals exactly with your situation, because what Patricia said shows exactly what you hear the word pre-existing condition. She has cancer. So no insurance company will take her for a reasonable amount of money through her employer or anything else. What the insurance plan that I hope will pass will prevent insurance company from rejecting Patricia. She'll be able to buy insurance. It'll be at rates that either she can afford or we can subsidize her in getting that insurance. But she cannot be refused, as she is worried about now, because her situation prevents her from getting a reasonable cost health insurance. And it's a perfect example of why we need this and why we need it now. By the way, just one more thing for Patricia. The ban on refusing for pre-existing conditions is the first thing that will take effect once we pass the bill. It's the one thing that will go into effect just almost immediately. And hopefully, Patricia, you'll find a job. But even if you don't, a new plan will allow you to get that insurance and allow you to get those operations. Again, this is Bob Filner, Congressman for 51st District. Please press *3 on your telephone, and we'll be able to get a question in.
Bob, we have Sean on the line from Eastlake. I'd like to talk to you about some of your efforts on behalf of the 51st District.
Hi, Sean.
Hi, Congress Filner.
How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you. How about you?
I'm doing good. I'd love to talk to my constituents.
All right. Well, I know, I mean, I've seen you at a lot of events around the district, and I suppose this call right here shows how much that you try to keep in touch with us. But what I'm wondering is there anything, and if so, what do you do specifically in Washington to help better the interest of your constituents here in the 51st District?
Mm-hmm. Well, let me answer that in two ways, Sean. Number one, that has grown up really as part of a congressman's job, but was not seen originally as part of the job, because we are seen as legislators, that is, to make laws as representatives of our district, of our people. But we help people with individual problems quite a bit, whether it's on health insurance, whether it's on immigration issues, whether a Social Security check didn't arrive or someone was denied a disability claim. Any of those issues that people have to deal with big bureaucracies about, even in the private system, even in the private sector, people come to our office and we try to help them, and generally we're successful. At least we get an answer through a bureaucracy that sometimes doesn't seem to care. And, of course, as chairman of the Veterans Committee in the Congress, we do get a lot of people wondering whether they got the right benefits from the Veterans Administration or whether they're entitled to others, and we try to help them through that process. So that's a big chunk of what I do. In addition, we try to make sure that the bills that we pass, the laws that we pass, help San Diegans and help those in Imperial County, whether it's with jobs, health care, environment, education, on and on. That is, we try to make sure the law is applicable to the concerns that my constituents have. If we, for example, because we live near the an international border, any legislation that does not that wants to deal with the environment, for example, and doesn't take into account that we have a border, we have certain environmental issues on the border that are caused because we live to another adjacent to another country. I try to make sure that that's taken into account. And I can multiply those along the way. But when you are trying to create jobs for the whole nation, I want, you know, obviously San Diego and Imperial County are helped. But if there's any specific way we can help that, I try to make sure the right amendments or the right language is in the bill to do that. So I have a job both on the legislative sense and also helping people personally with problems that they may have with the with our government. Again, this is Bob Filner. You can reach me by pressing *3 on your telephone.
Bob, we have Mario on the line from Imperial. I'd like to talk to you about the unemployment rate in the Valley and what can be done about it.
Hey, Mario.
Hello.
Hi.
I was just, you know, wondering around here, there's if you don't, you know, mostly people in government jobs, county and city and state or federal, they're the people with the most secure jobs right now. And I'm wondering, what do you think or what are your plans for the people that are not in those types of
right.
jobs? Because, you know, it's pretty bad out here.
Right. Just by the way, you know, our national unemployment rate is almost 10%. Which is seen as pretty grave, and yet out in Imperial County, the unemployment rate is over 25%. So you can imagine the difficulties that people like Mario are facing every day. The thing that I think is going to be most helpful to the to Imperial Valley is the what we were talking about earlier, and that is the alternative energy. Job creation monies that we have passed, several hundred billion of them. There are all kinds of new companies coming to the Valley to build solar energy farms, to build wind farms, to build on the what is already the biggest geothermal plants in the nation, geothermal energy. Not only do people need to be hired to build those and then to operate them, but we have to hire, they have to be trained in our both our junior colleges and our state universities and apprentice programs. So there's money for the training. There's money for to start up these companies. And hopefully through those training programs and through this new effort in renewable energy, the Valley will be, the Imperial Valley will be helped a great deal. I see us becoming, you know, the renewable energy capital of the world. And you will, I think, you know, if you drive between San Diego and Imperial County, you see the wind farm that's halfway, you know, in the, on the mountains halfway across, and you're going to see vast arrays of solar energy production and geothermal, and probably more wind energy. Coming up in this year and next year right away. So I'm hoping that that will greatly alleviate the unemployment situation in Imperial County. This is Bob Filner, Congressman. Please press *3 on your telephone and you can get in on the conversation.
Bob, we have Howard on the line from Bonita. He wants to talk to you about your position on cap and trade.
Hey, Howard.
Good evening, Congressman. Appreciate you taking my question. Since Professor Jones has admitted that most of the data that formed the basis for the global warming hoax, basically, how do you feel about the rush to vote on the cap and trade bill by Congress that was put through so quickly that, you know, it now seems almost ludicrous?
Well, virtually nothing goes through Congress very quickly. So, I mean, there were months and months and months of discussions and hearings and debate before any legislation gets passed. But I disagree with the premise, Howard, that you stated. I believe that the issue of climate change that requires enormous I think, enormous response by the whole world is real. I don't think that that can be doubted when you look at what's going on with the polar ice caps, when you look at the seawater, sea levels. I don't think that can be denied. And I think it's going to lead, potentially, in rather short time, to real danger for our whole planet, and certainly individual nations that have to start fighting for land or this or that if it comes to that. So we have to, I think, drastically begin to deplete, to bring down our carbon emissions. There's ways to do that, which we are debating. We haven't passed anything in the Congress. The House passed what is called a cap and trade bill, which puts caps on emissions, but allows companies who think they need to emit more than would be allowed by law to buy credits toward doing that from other companies that are contributing less carbon to the atmosphere. And that was seen as a sort of market-driven way to bring down our emissions. But I have to tell you, the whole world has to be involved with this. China has to be involved, the United States, India, all the industrial countries. And I think as a species, we have to come together, deal with this, recognize the scientific basis of it, and move to action. We have time for a few more calls. Please press *3 on your telephone, and you can talk to Bob Filner, Congressman for the 51st District.
Bob, we have Gabriella from San Diego on the line. We'd like to talk about funding for college.
Hi, Gabriella.
Hello?
Yeah, you're on.
Oh, okay. Oh, I have a question. Okay, so I'm starting college in the fall, and I just want to know, what are you doing in terms of, because I know college prices went up and everything, what are you doing in Congress to make sure it doesn't get too high and make sure there's financial aid available and all this, just to help the regular student go to college?
Right. Well, congratulations. I'm going to college. I'm sure you'll not only enjoy it, but have a good education and be able to get a real good job in our economy. The federal government tries to help students like Gabriella in several ways. Number one, we have, in addition to what a state may do or the college may do, we have these national Pell Grants that are available for qualified students that are that we've raised the amount quite significantly, I think, in recent years, and are available. In addition, there's federal loans that we're trying to bring back down the cost of the interest rate so students don't have to face loans their whole lives. We're trying to make that more more affordable. And in this jobs creation bills that I've been talking about, we have new programs that we're going to be supporting for in new industries like alternative energy. So I don't know if we're doing enough, but generally a qualified student can put together a federal and state loan program that could make sure that everybody who wants to go to college can. I would like to do more, but we'll continue to work on that, and good luck to Gabriella. We're going to take one more call for the evening. And Tony, who's going to have that privilege?
Okay, Bob, we have Marianne on the line from Chula Vista.
Hi, Marianne. You're
hi,
able to get the last call today.
Yeah, well, that's really good. I was also a patient of Dr. Marguerite Hung, so you know exactly who I am. I'm a former elementary school administrator. I want to thank you for supporting students from your area to attend the military schools. My son is a lieutenant in the Coast Guard, and it was your support that encouraged him. And he went to the Coast Guard Academy in Connecticut, which is the most elitist of the schools. He went out to sea for 2 years, serving on the Morgenthau, which headed south, stopping drug smugglers, and also helping up in the Alaskan waters. And now, right now, he is studying to fly the advanced helicopter, the Echo version of the Jayhawk, the H-60. And I also want to know what you can do to encourage more students, especially minority students and young ladies from San Diego, to attend the Coast Guard Academy. It is the smallest of the schools, but the most elitist of the schools.
Well, thank you, and I'm glad your son is having such a great career in the Coast Guard. I was chairing a committee which dealt with the Coast Guard, and it was a great experience because the Coast Guard is the one part of our armed forces now that has both civilian and sort of homeland security functions. It's the Coast Guard was traditionally there to help boating accidents and help people at sea enforce some of the laws on our inland waterways. But now they have, as was pointed out by Marianne, greatly increased functions, whether it's against smuggling or looking for terrorists or whatever. And so it's a greatly modernized and greatly enhanced force. And by the way, they were one of the few agencies that performed incredibly during the Katrina hurricane situation in New Orleans, while everybody else was sort of not knowing what to do. The Coast Guard saved 35,000 lives, which is a great accomplishment. We will try to get to all the high schools to let people know. We get the academies out to high schools to explain their programs and to encourage our young people to join. So I think we'll redouble our efforts there, Marianne. I think you're right. People just don't know about it and the opportunities there. It's a great service, and people should know more. And we'll try to get the Coast Guard to have more open houses and orientations about just what the Coast Guard does. This brings us to an end of our teletown hall meeting. It's been great to talk to all of you. I hope you found it interesting. Let us know. There'll be a follow-up call that's made to. If you have any comments about how we can make this better or how we can serve your interests and help you understand the issues that are affecting you and your neighbors. So this is Bob Filner, Congressman, and I'm signing off and looking forward to working on your behalf in the coming months. Good night.